Sup, you beautiful bastards. Welcome back to the Wednesday Philip DeFranco Show. Hit that like button to support the video. Hit that subscribe button to get future shows, but also for your chance at $5,000 at the end of the month. And let's just jump into it. The first thing that we're going to talk about today in big internet entertainment news, we had David Dobrik officially returning back to the internet, restarting his vlog back up post-scandals. Right, with the most recent two being him almost killing his friend Jeff Whittick in just an extremely negligent accident with a crane, as well as, of course, right before that, the rape allegation situation with Dirty Dom. People getting angry at Dobrik specifically because he filmed a lot of what happened that night for his vlog. A lot of people saying, you know, he brought this predator into the videos, he created this environment. All of that, of course, famously resulted in him losing many sponsors, him having to step down from his position at a startup dispo. We saw him issue apologies, the last of which was very well received, but he took a break from YouTube. Given the generally very positive reaction to that second apology, it felt like he was definitely going to be able to come back, and he did just that. And in the video titled Surprising My Friends, really the only reference to any scandal in the past is a joke that Jeff Whittick makes about not suing Dobrik. And really, as expected, the whole video was very well received, getting over 3.3 million views as of this morning. People in general very excited. The like to dislike ratio so far, 526,000 likes to 17,000 dislikes. David's video also ending saying new videos every Tuesday, which some people, they felt like it was deeper than, I think, just a regular schedule. Some noting that as recently as last week, Tuesday was the day that Frenemies came out, which of course was hosted in part by Trisha Paytas. They, though, have had this just really ugly, messy falling out with Ethan Klein, H3H3 production, with many people noting and crediting Frenemies for being a big part of the reason why David Dobrik ended up having his scandals. But, and hey, I could be wrong here, but I think David Dobrik doing Tuesdays, it's not that deep. I don't think there was intent there regarding Frenemies. Also, secondarily, with a much smaller story about Corinna Kopp, of course, we talked about her launching an OnlyFans, there being an expectation that it was going to be big. In the video, she also revealed
48 hours.
Oh my fuck.
I made a little over $1 million.
And really, I mean, it's the same thing I said last time. Props to her and anyone else on OnlyFans, especially if you're getting people to subscribe for $25 a month. Right? I mean, just think about it. I'm not going to argue that the market is wrong or right here, but you have people who have successfully convinced an immense number of people that viewing pleasure of their body is equal to or even more valuable than a Netflix and Disney Plus subscription. The Marvel Cinematic Universe? I mean, really think about it. Netflix spends $17.3 billion a year making content, so you'll pay an $8.99 monthly fee. I mean, I got nothing but respect for these men and women. And actually, I think to end this story on a clean note, I think we can take a little bit of this secondary story and wrap it back around to David Dobrik and the similarity between the two, and that is the market will decide what the market will decide. I think the David Dobrik situation is a really interesting example of why many celebrities can't actually be canceled, whether you think they should be or they shouldn't be. Because for David Dobrik, and I would argue a lot of online creators who are not kind of bound by some sort of contract like a Disney or an ABC or blah, 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 their market isn't that social opinion in general, it's not the internet in general, it's their audience. Right? That's the market for David Dobrik. Those are the only people that matter in the situation as far as how his career moves forward. The reaction in general from his fans seems to be kind of one of two things. One, the backlash and outrage against David Dobrik was overblown in the first place, that he really wasn't at fault with the Dirty Dom situation. You should only focus on Dirty Dom. In the Jeff Whittick situation, Jeff accepted his apology. David Dobrik tried to make good by his friend. Or two, David Dobrik was in the wrong in both of those situations. He was playing really loose. He didn't care about actual people being hurt as long as the content was good, but people deserve to learn and grow. Though, also, of course, at the same time, understand that not everyone is happy that he's back. Whether it be kind of, you know, just everyday people or even other creators like Eddie Burbeck who tweeted, fuck David Dobrik. But with all that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts on this? Which camp do you land in? Are you in the fuck David Dobrik camp? Are you in the things were overblown or at least people should be able to grow camp? Where? Why? I'd love to know. Then, I mean, it feels like you don't often get the chance to say this, the Senate passed a bill unanimously, which I mean, is kind of amazing. With this Senate, I wouldn't bet good money that they would agree that the sky is blue, but yesterday, the Senate passed a bill unanimously to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. And Juneteenth, if you're unfamiliar, is the commemoration of June 19th, 1865, which is when a Union general arrived in Galveston, Texas to inform enslaved African Americans that they had been freed under the Emancipation Proclamation more than 2 years earlier. You know, with this passing, the Senate, it's all but guaranteed, right? The House Majority Leader announced this morning that the chamber is gonna take up the legislation. Right right now, it looks like it'll be sent to President Biden's desk before this year's celebrations. Then, do you remember that manager of a New York City Shake Shack that was falsely accused of poisoning milkshakes for NYPD officers with bleach last summer? Well, the big update to that story is that person is now suing the police department, its unions, and individual officers. It happened last year, June 15th, a quick TLDR. Three officers monitoring the anti-racism protests in Lower Manhattan, they go to the Shake Shack, they buy the milkshakes, they think that those milkshakes have been poisoned. But by the end of the night, investigators determined that no one had actually tampered with the drinks and that the NYPD declared that there was no criminality. But before that determination was made, while the inquiry was ongoing, the police unions and their leaders blasted out tweets accusing Shake Shack workers of a targeted police attack, which was then used and shared widely on social media by prominent conservatives. There was a lot, it got really ugly. And now, a year later, that former manager of Shake Shack, Marcus Gilliam, has accused the parties involved of false arrest and defamation. And according to the lawsuit, the three officers, which are referred to as Officers Strawberry Shake, Vanilla Shake, and Cherry Shake, they ordered the drinks via mobile app, which right off the bat means that the employees could not have known that the cops placed the order, which was already packaged and waiting for pickup when the officers arrived. And reportedly, because they were packaged the way they were packaged, there was no way that Gilliam or other employees could have then poisoned after the fact once they realized they were cops. With the lawsuit going on to say that even after complaining about the taste of the milkshakes and being offered vouchers for free replacements, which they accepted, they still told their sergeant that Gilliam had put a toxic substance in their drinks. Also, despite being literal officers of the law, right, understanding how the law works, they decided to throw away, I guess, what would have been the evidence. The court documents then go on to say that another officer arrived, detaining the employees, who cooperated with the officers' investigations, which included interviews, searches, and tests which showed no evidence of bleach or other toxins. What's more, the cops also conducted a review of security footage, which also independently determined that none of the employees put any kind of toxic substances in the officers' drinks. But the lawsuit going on to say that despite all of that, and even after the three officers were released from a hospital without ever showing symptoms, the officers still arrested Gilliam and brought him into the precinct, where it said that he was interrogated for approximately 1 to 2 hours and detained around 3 hours, putting the total time that he was detained by police in both the store and the precinct at around 5 to 6 hours. With Gilliam's attorneys arguing that the officers had no probable cause or warrants for his arrest. An arrest which they say caused him to suffer emotional and psychological damages and damages to his reputation, as well as economic damages from legal fees and missed wages, for which he is seeking both punitive and monetary damages. And, I mean, ultimately, we're gonna have to wait to see what happens here. As of right now, none of the defendants have responded to requests for comment, so we just have to wait and see this play out. But from that, I want to take a second to thank the fantastic sponsor of today's show, NordVPN.com/Phil. You know, I've spent the last few years telling you about our longtime sponsor, NordVPN, and all the reasons why you should use it. And now I'd like to share some tips, tricks, and news related to online privacy with you. For example, recently you may have heard Amazon turned all your Echo devices into a mesh network shared with your neighbors. And there's plenty of utility that comes with services like this, or Apple's Find My Phone, but you also give up a lot of privacy along the way, especially when you have these things on by default. And if this amount of sharing doesn't work for you, go into the settings on your Amazon devices and select disable. And if at the same time you want to make NordVPN a part of your online security arsenal right now, you can get an extra good deal when you go to nordvpn.com/Phil to get a huge discount on a 2-year plan. Plus, a bonus gift of anywhere between 1 to 4 additional months free when you use code Phil, and it's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So what are you waiting for? That's nordvpn.com/Phil, and be sure to use code Phil at checkout for the bonus gift of 1 to 4 additional months free. Then, we should definitely talk about this heat wave that we're seeing in the West, Southwest, and then also specifically talk about what's happening in Texas. So right now, we're seeing heat warnings and advisories in 7 states. We have reports saying that in the coming days, 40 million people are likely to see temperatures reaching or exceeding 100 degrees. If you look at places like Las Vegas early this morning, and keep in mind, it is June, it was just below 90 degrees. It's believed that it could get close to the record of 117 degrees. But also, I mean, you have places like Salt Lake City. It was 107 degrees yesterday, right? It broke the record for June. It tied the hottest it's ever been in the city. Meanwhile, Colorado just issued its first excessive heat warning ever as temperatures approach 110 degrees in some parts of the state. And as far as how this is impacting power, we look to places like California, where the grid operator there reportedly is expecting enough power to meet the extra demand. Though some reports note that hydropower could force California officials to rely more on natural gas plants for power generation at peak times, which on one hand is good because you don't have blackouts, but on the other hand, you have people saying, well, this is gonna make it hard for California to meet their greenhouse gas emissions goal. But where we're seeing one of the biggest concerns about power power is Texas. Right, and this in part because Texas's main power grid manager, ERCOT, has asked customers to conserve energy through Friday amid fears of rolling blackouts during a dangerous heat wave. And for the non-Texans out there that are like, why does that sound so familiar? It's because we talked about ERCOT a lot earlier this year when millions of Texans were left either without power or with sky-high electric bills during the middle of a massive snowstorm. With that storm and those blackouts leading to up to nearly 200 deaths, following that, multiple power companies had to file for bankruptcy. And since then, ERCOT has faced nationwide scrutiny, and now they're back in the news because they say their power supply is running low due to a number of forced generation outages and climbing demand. With them, in fact, predicting that the demand will peak at around 73,000 megawatts in a single day sometime this month, which would absolutely shatter the current June record of around 69,000 megawatts, which was set back in 2018. And to make matters worse, on Monday, about 12,000 megawatts of ERCOT's 87,000 megawatt energy capacity were offline, meaning that they only had a reserve capacity margin of about 2,000 megawatts. And so with all of that, they've now asked consumers to set their thermostats to 78 or higher, turn off lights and pool pumps, and even avoid using large appliances. Since then, ERCOT has restored about 1,200 megawatts to its capacity, but that is still a pretty thin margin, especially since ERCOT also revealed that 2018's record has already now been beaten by 820 megawatts. And so with all of that, they asked consumers to set their thermostats to 78 or higher, turn off their lights and pool pumps, and even avoid using large appliances. And adding that this is unusual for this early in the summer season. And in the meantime, they're going to probably have to fend off and deal with some rather angry Texans. I mean, most of the state is hitting near 100 degrees today, and there's also a question of how many people will even comply with this request. But yeah, you be safe out there, you beautiful bastards. And the final thing that we're going to talk about today is that President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin met today. They had their summit in Geneva. Reportedly, they talked for just under 4 hours. Putin called the talks very constructive, Biden calling them positive. Also taking the opportunity to stress that his agenda is for America, not against Russia. Biden saying he brought up the issues of human rights and cyber attacks. Also, more specifically regarding Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who is currently in prison. Biden said that he told Putin there would be consequences if he died in prison and that it would be devastating for Russia. Also saying he told Putin what the U.S. considers the critical elements of its infrastructure and told him the U.S. would respond forcefully if they were targeted. Really, I mean, the only thing other than kind of the exchanging of words that we ended up seeing happen, like an actual thing, is that reportedly an agreement was made between the U.S. and Russia to immediately return ambassadors to their posts in Moscow and Washington. Right, so that's been seen by some as kind of a first building block to what's been considered the worst relations in decades. Also of note, while Putin said that while speaking to Biden and the people there, there was no kind of hostility, he likely does not have the same opinion of American journalist Rachel Scott, who after the summit asked him this question.
The list of your political opponents who are dead, imprisoned, or jailed is long. Alexei Navalny's organization calls for free and fair elections, an end to corruption. But Russia has outlawed that organization, calling it extremist. And you have now prevented anyone who supports him to run for office. So my question is, Mr. President, what are you so afraid of?
He then goes on to try to deflect, play a little whataboutism. He tries to avoid the question, at which point Rachel Scott asks him the follow-up question.
You didn't answer my question, sir. If all of your political opponents are dead, in prison, poisoned, doesn't that send a message that you do not want a fair political fight?
And personally, I gotta just say props to Rachel Scott here, and also do not drink tea anytime soon, just in case. And ultimately, with this story, or honestly anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below, because this is the end of today's show. And ultimately, what I want to leave you with today is thanks for watching. I love your face. I appreciate you, and I'll see you tomorrow.